And you are listening to KKCR, Hanalei, KAQA, Kilauea, the station that loves you. And I couldn't think of a more perfect song. May the good Lord shine a light on you. And I really feel that. And to the wonderful people that I met earlier today, Gary, Pat, Rick, and Cheryl, I send that right to you, too. So this is Felicia. Kauai's Soapbox is made possible by listeners like you in partnership with George's Food Truck and Kilauea Paint.
The views and opinions expressed during this program are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect those of KKCR, its management, staff, board, members, volunteers, or underwriters.
Chef George of the Jungle Food Truck, now in Wailua at Kamokila Hawaiian Village, serving local burgers, gyros, and falafel. Also, Summer's Organic Shave Ice with fresh fruit. Open Sunday through Friday, 10:30 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. 783-0230 for takeout. Chef George of the Jungle supports KKCR.
Kilauea Paint and Feed Store, specializing in professional-grade Pittsburgh paints and paint sundries, premium pet food, and organic livestock feed, propane exchange and filling, too. Located just past the Shell station on Kolo Road in Kilauea, Monday through Friday from 7:30 to 5:30, and Saturday from 8 to 1. Locally owned, Kilauea Paint and Feed Store, 828-6655. KKCR listens to you. If you'd like to make comments or provide feedback regarding our programming, or to suggest programming you'd like to hear, go to kkcr.org, click on the contact link, and take our listener survey. Or send us a letter at KKCR, P.O. Box 825, Hanalei, Hawaii 96714. Kauai Community Radio, listening to you.
Mahalo for supporting Kauai Community Radio. And so you're listening to Kauai Soapbox, and we've got a lot going on today in the studio here. I would say our major topic that will be coming up in a little bit is like what's going on at Hanalei School. We have some what I would call labor issues, and it was Labor Day, so it's a great time to be able to talk about that. And also a great thing right after Labor Day is tomorrow, for people who are looking for a job at Kauai Community College in the Office of Continuing Education and Training building, they're having a job fair from 10 to 2. So that's Wednesday, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Kauai Community College in Puhi. So that's happening, and we wish everybody good luck at finding good ways to help each other and earn a living and have a growing business. Also, Aninaho Park Nursery on Tuesday the 15th is having a propagation event. That means helping learn how to grow plants. That is from 9 to 2. That's a week from today. That sounds really great. And I have several people in the studio with me, but one of them is Alan Parachini. Can you see if I got you? Parachini, right?
Parachini, actually.
Parachini. Ah, and I'm even Italian. Okay, what's going on that you were going to tell us that's happening this week?
Well, if you live in Kilauea, you may already have gotten a notice that our water will be turned off from 6 p.m. on the 13th until 4 a.m. on the 14th. If you live in Kilauea, you probably know that they've been working on a water main replacement on Kolo Road. They're hooking that new water main up overnight that night. So stock up on water, but we won't have any.
Okay, so that's a 10-hour shutdown, Sunday night to Monday. All right, Monday, September 14th. Somebody just called and wanted to wish me a happy birthday. Thank you. September 14th, next Monday, is my birthday, so the county must have missed that. I'm just playing. And it's in the middle of the night, so it doesn't seem like it would be such a big deal. Okay, I also would like to honor a few of the people that we have lost this week. I know that there are more. One very important person is Arlene Kawakami. I know her most as Derek's mom, our representative's mother. Derek, we are very sorry for your loss and to the rest of the family. Big save, legacy, a lot more to say about Arlene, perhaps next week when there's more knowledge about when a service will be, or we'll have one of those people come in and honor her. That was pretty unexpected. I don't know enough about her long-term health issue, but it was very sad. And then another friend from the community, one of my friends, Tech Nickerson, he passed away Saturday morning very, very unexpectedly for all of us. He's somebody who is, you'll see him at all these different meetings, very often near me or with me. He gets involved in almost anything trying to help the community. His was an unexpected passing, and he pretty much just didn't wake up. So, Tech Nickerson, you are loved by many people in this community, and we wish you well on your next journey. And who had passed away a couple weeks ago, Lee Joseph, another person who has done a lot to help the community, and he is most known for his massage and integrated structural integration school. His service is going to be September 19th. It's coming up, I believe that is at Anini Beach, 3 p.m., Anini Beach. So, Lee Joseph, you are loved, and our community just has to keep moving forward when people leave our posse and they're not forgotten. So, one more thing I would like to speak to before I get started on the show deeply today, or the topic of the show, is the KKCR mission statement. And I am reading this because at the end of the last show, I had a caller call in and kind of bring up 2 points that they felt that KKCR wasn't doing what they're supposed to do. So we really appreciate it when people call in, when people say those things. And like you just heard the recording, KKCR does listen. And I think the concern was that I had had a guest who is a representative of, he's running for legislature in the reinstated Hawaiian Kingdom. So the caller was concerned that the Hawaiian community wasn't very fairly represented because not everybody is sovereignty oriented, and they felt that it was inappropriate for KKCR to give this person time on the air, especially if there wasn't somebody else to argue the point that they didn't feel that the Hawaiian nation was valid or deserving of so much time. So I want to read our mission statement. It says, KKCR is Kauai's independent, non-commercial, listener-supported community radio station. KKCR seeks to stimulate, educate, and entertain our audience, preserve, perpetuate, and celebrate Hawaiian culture, reflect the diversity of the local and world community. KKCR provides a forum for overlooked, suppressed, or underrepresented voices in music. The Kekahu Foundation facilitates this broadcasting opportunity. And Butch Kekahu, he is one of the founders of the Kekahu Foundation and KKCR. He's also a founder of the Kauani Foundation. So I invite people who are concerned about KKCR having such a strong bias in favor of supporting the Hawaiian voice, particularly those who are somewhat in the sovereignty movement, if you were to look at Kauani, K-O-A-N-I, foundation.org, you will see that Butch Kekahu was a rather active sovereignty leader, and he has worked tirelessly, at, you know, even post-death, because the Kauani Foundation has made a lot of progress in looking at the validity of the state of Hawaii. Other piece I want to bring up is something called hate speech. I know last week we had somebody at the end of the first hour talk pretty scathingly about people of Caucasian descent. I'm pretty used to hearing it, so I don't get offended when people are venting, but it was said to me if a white person said that about a person of another race, that it wouldn't be okay, and that might be true. But I did look up the definition, and it says, in-law hate speech is any speech, gesture, conduct, writing, or display, which is forbidden because it may incite violence or prejudicial action against or by a protected individual or group, because it disparages or intimidates a protected individual or group. I would probably like it to not have that word protected. We don't really want to hurt anybody, but I would say those of my ethnic background, which is of Caucasian descent, we aren't a protected group. But it's good to be constructive and productive when we're dealing with any kind of difficult topics. So on that note, now we're going to go on to our difficult topic. and we're going to be constructive and productive about it. I want to make sure that my guests are mic'd up okay. I have Catherine Wilson in here. Catherine, let me hear you say aloha.
Aloha.
Yes. And then Ashley Jones.
Hello.
Hi. And both of you are parents at Hanalei School, correct?
Yes.
Yes.
And I went upon invitation to a meeting that was held last night at the school, and I go to a lot of meetings. I go to a lot of meetings where people are upset about a topic, and I went not expecting near the depth of research or information that was there. I will say one very productive person in that meeting was Tom Perry. He was the Hawaii State Teachers Association union representative, right? He's for Kauai.
Yes.
And he had a very strong understanding of this topic, and I really wanted him to come in today, but he had previous engagements that really required him to be there. I'm going to be asking you both to give me a little bit of background, and I also did, just in fairness to the whole dialogue, I invited District Superintendent Bill Arakaki in, and also our Board of Education Representative Maggie Cox. I did hear from Bill, and he has something that he has to do this afternoon, but he is going to be listening. He's likely to call in at some point early in this show, and he does want to hear what is under discussion. So I'm very glad for that. There was more of you invited. They're nodding their heads. Say yes. They can't see you.
Yes.
Yes. More people were invited. It was a... I counted 52 people when I was counting around the room. There were some that came in and left, some came in later and left, but there was at least 52 people in that room at one time. It was very well attended. I think that you gave less than 24 hours notice for this meeting, is that
mm-hmm.
correct?
Yes, that is.
And this is about something of both long-ranging concern and imminent concern. Alan
Parakini.
Parakini. Okay, Alan Parakini is in here. We were going to be discussing another element of what's going on, and I'm glad that you came in anyway, as invited. The people who didn't come why?
I think a lot of people are afraid to speak up because they are, you know, many of them are hired by the DOE, Department of Education, and so they fear for their jobs and retaliation within the school.
Okay, I will honor that. When I was in that room, and I don't want to give away too much information if people are worried, but I would say among the people that were in there that were staff, there's a number that I saw that were there who I know were born here, went to school there. They were, in fact, students when I used to teach there in the early 80s. And I would say close to half the room are people longer term or always from Kauai. So that, I know, tends to matter to people, but it was, I would say the most emotional parents were the ones who went to Hanalei School themselves. That was my observation. I'm just giving that in fairness to the listeners so they understand the composition of who was in the room. I would like to allow you guys to speak and really tell what I heard, if you can.
Yes.
Nice and loud.
Okay. All right. Well, my name is Ashley Jones. I'm a parent of a child at Hanalei and another one who has since graduated Hanalei and moved on, and I am also a very concerned community member. I've been raised in this community. My father built the school that stands today in this beautiful location, and very much love this community and the school.
And your mother's been a principal and is a lead administrator at Island School currently.
Yes, and she was taught for over 30 years as well. So I definitely do have a deep understanding and respect for both teachers and administrators, for sure. A little bit of history for those who are new to the island or to our community of Honolulu School. So we had an amazing administrator called Corey Nakamura, named Corey Nakamura, who served at Honolulu Elementary School for 7 years, and he was so beloved by our community and respected by the teachers and had a very close-knit relationship with the students there and in our community. And he left and moved on to his school where his children attend and near where he lives, and we were very sad to see him go, but we did receive a new principal last school year. That was the 2014-2015 school year. This principal came to us. Her name is Lisa McDonald, and since last year, almost pretty much right away, problems started to occur within the dynamics of the relationships of and the workings of the school. Not a lot of people know that or understand that if they weren't within the working element of the school. And I myself, as a parent and involved PTSA, I was a vice principal or vice president, in the PTSA last year. And I too didn't really realize the depth of it until about halfway through the year. But I also noticed that I didn't really know who the principal was for quite some time because she wasn't around. She really wasn't on campus very much and didn't really connect or reach out to get to know the community, and was kind of confused by that and a little sad. I think a lot of people were, didn't really know who she was. Many, many parents didn't know who she was.
Well, my understanding was is that even when she was hired, she had a very gravely ill mother. Is that correct?
You know what? That is correct. And she, I think, was trying to balance both caring for her mother and taking on a school. And I have a lot of compassion for that aspect of her journey because I have lost a parent and I know how deep that is. And I do really, you know, feel for her in her first part of last year and dealing with that. On the other hand, I also look at that and wonder why she would take on this task of running a school with also having to care for such a gravely ill parent. It's a huge task to take on, running of a school, and you're really married to it. It takes up all your life, and I don't know how she thought she was going to be able to do both. So that did, you know, concern me and many, many others. So she has been principal since last year, and many things started to happen, and it's led to kind of where it is today.
So some of the early warning signs of things were deteriorating was the teachers were beginning to talk about how their input, which was always listened to by the past president, principal. Wasn't considered. Their feedback was disregarded. Just the tone and communication style of Lisa McDonald was very disrespectful described as very rude by the teachers. Around February was when she was more present on the campus. Prior to that, we had a substitute principal who was wonderful, got along with everybody.
And who's that?
Todd Harrison.
Todd Harrison. I mean, with all due respect to the existing principal, mm-hmm. I'm really, really confounded that he wasn't the person that was chosen for that job because he has such a long standing of history in the community, co-parenting with so many of these families, worked at Kapa for a very long time. He seemed like the very natural choice, so it was really kind of tough that wasn't the choice. And he's had so much years at Kapa High.
We agree.
We too are really sad that he wasn't chosen to be our principal, I think we would be not sitting here, actually, at all, if that was the case.
So you were saying he was in there for a few weeks.
Yeah, and I think that his success in that position showed that the community wasn't, we either have our old principal or we're not going to accept anybody. We were open arms with Todd and very sad when he left. When Lisa McDonald did start to be more present on the campus, there was still just a lack of knowing when she was going to be there, when she wasn't. There was no communication between even her and her office staff. Emails weren't getting returned by parents or teachers. When she did come more in the February to be more active, the active role that she took was not working. She was trying to make a lot of budget decisions without gathering her team, and we started to get complaints. In the beginning of March, we received, we being the PTSA at the time, received our first letter of concern. The letter was signed by voices of the Hanalei school community. At that point, no one would put their name on anything for fear of being fired or treated unfairly in the job. We took that letter to Mr. Arakaki. In April, he received all that information. By that time, we were also getting other letters from parents. We had a meeting in May, face-to-face with Mr. Arakaki, we being the PTSA. We expressed all our concerns. At that point, we had petitions signed by other parents, other community members. Do you want me to continue with the timeline?
I appreciate, I know it's harder for you as a parent, like what, just for the listener, what mm-hmm. what was very profound for me at the meeting is there were staff that were speaking. And I don't want to accuse you of saying this is kind of hearsay or whatever, but you're saying that this didn't get returned or that didn't get returned. But what we were hearing in the meeting was very specific elements, like not attending the training for the new Common Core standards tests. I forget the name of the tests. I mean, we had a very, very explicit discussion on where pieces were missing, number of absenteeism from the principal. I mean, it was a compelling story. When I went, and Ashley, you had called me, and I talked to you, and everything I was trying to guide you on was saying, hey, you know what? Let's find a way to work this out. Is that correct?
Yes, absolutely.
And the wording I was using to try and guide conversation is like how can we work with what is? And so I was pretty shocked at hearing things that to me sounded like violations of the law. Like the element, I think it's called 504, when there are special needs students and those needs aren't addressed and they're required to be addressed, when the school community council basically has been disbanded. When I hear who those personalities were, like one of them was Nick Beck, who he was the principal when I taught there, and he is an extraordinary principal and a very powerful and influential and bright man. He left the school community council, and then so did Rick Cox, who is another shining star in this community from the Rotary Club, who has raised $800,000 and done a whole lot to be funding. So when we're losing people like that, that have a lot of perspective and they don't have an immediate stake in the game, like they don't have a child in there. Nick, he might have a grandchild in there. I think he probably does. But it caused me to really sit up. And then Tom Perry, who I hope can call in, he's from the Hawaii State Teachers Association, the union, he was mentioning the elements of grievances that are filed, like a number of grievances that are filed. You're looking back at your paper. Do you have some factual stuff?
Sure. Well, I could go in a little bit of why Rick Cox and Nick Beck resigned from the SSC.
Community Council.
Yes. So they put together a principal report, which clearly specified that Lisa McDonald, in their opinion, was not meeting her job duties, that she would actually receive a failing grade. And in that report, it asked that Mr. Arakaki remove her from that position. Mr. Arakaki met with the SCC after the report was provided to him. They had a face-to-face meeting with the whole executive board. They were told in writing that they would hear back on June the 30th. They never heard anything. To date, they have never gotten a response. So at that point, both members stepped down.
Okay, and that is the advisory board.
Actually, that's not totally correct.
Yeah, okay. Please correct me.
That's correct up until when they resigned. So I was actually at the SEC meetings and so enjoyed their perspective and their input, and they are longstanding members of our community, and I'm so sad to see them go. So at the beginning of the year, the SEC was very disappointed by the lack of response from Arakaki, and when Rick Cox tried to call in a new meeting to start the new school year, and we were all hopeful that maybe things would change and maybe, you know, Lisa might step up to the plate and hopefully there would be some positive changes. I think we were all just hopeful and just seeing how things went. So we were starting off a new year. He called a new meeting into place and said that the agenda of the meeting would be what it was. And she, Lisa McDonald, promptly replied to the email saying that, just rebuttaling a lot of what was in the agenda. And at that point, I think Rick Cox chose to step away because he didn't feel like he was going to be able to work any longer, you know, with her, with the results being as they were. And then Nick Beck was going to step in as the president. That was already planned to happen. And Nick Beck quickly sent an email as well saying that he felt like he had given so much of himself to this and felt like he wasn't actually holding any clout in the community anymore.
And you're listening to KKCR Hanalei, KAQA Kilauea. This is Felicia with Kauai Soapbox. I have Ashley Catherine Allen in here, and then I have another one of our programmers, Eric Hansen, who is answering the phone. I'm going to throw one little thing out. Marshall, who normally did, he ended up with a really rough infection. I want to tell everybody, wash your hands well. If you got a cut, keep it clean, and don't go swimming in the estuaries because we do have a lot of aggressive bacteria out there. And I want to give a shout-out to Wilcox Hospital for his 5 days of IV of antibiotics, and he's home again, but he's still taking care of himself. So, back to the topic of what's happening at Hanalei School. I want to zoom it out for a moment. And I actually don't really want to be using her name so directly so much because, to me, when I look at it, I don't personalize it as deeply. My understanding is this is her first job as a principal. Is that correct? She was not a principal before she came to Hanalei School.
She's been a vice principal before, but not a principal.
Not a principal. So this was a new job, and she's coming in with an emotionally difficult situation and then gets off to a bad start and stays off on that bad start. When I was hearing the numbers last year, the special ed program basically fell apart. Is that correct? You were nodding your heads, but
yes, that's correct. So.
And that there was about 4 or 5 teachers who left the school. Is that correct?
There are 9 teachers total who left by the end of the year. A good portion of the special ed department left.
9 teachers. That's an incredible amount. Very often there's not turnover of any teacher between the years. Very often when there are, it's retirement, baby, something like that.
Yes.
Do you have an indication that most of these exits were over the principal or the morale of the
school?
Most
of them, yes. Yes, absolutely. One of the teachers was having a child, and so she had already planned to, you know, be out and parent her child. But otherwise, pretty much everybody else, yes.
And I will say that the room had a good number of very clearly stressed teachers, former teachers, some tears there, saying they didn't feel that they could come back. Happened to be people who went to school there themselves. So it's tough to see that. It's not a surface little complaint.
No, absolutely not.
I could see that it was pretty profound. And so it got my attention, and it caused me to say, okay, come in and talk. And what came up also that really Tom Perry was bringing up, and I actually didn't know everybody's names that were in there. I know they said it. I don't remember them all. But there was a profound amount of communication and letters that had gone in the previous spring. And any principal on their first year typically is on probation. Mm-hmm. So it is concerning that when there wasn't a good match, like I'm not even blaming this individual principal as much as what I feel like I'm hearing her get. I go, all right, because I've been a boss. And sometimes people just aren't in the right job. Or something isn't working right. But what is pretty clear is something wasn't working right.
Right.
And when there was another opportunity for a different principal that was strongly wanted, and then that wonderful individual, Todd Harrison, he left Kauai. Yeah. And here we have a very limited stable of, like their horses, of backlog of people waiting in the wings to rise to that position. And he was an extraordinary one. I'm very sorry to see that he went. And he got principalship of a prestigious private school in Santa Cruz. So we're happy for him on that. We're just not that happy for us over here. So it seemed like a wasted resource, if I put it coldly. But that was a really curious element, that why there wasn't some correction on that point. Oh gosh, there was so much being said, and it was mostly coming from teachers, mm-hmm. really. Well, plenty of parents, but teachers being very specific. And so, correct me again, but my understanding is the reason that this is such an imminent issue is that there is a very desired first grade teacher that has great rapport with the students, apparently great rapport with the parents, many, many parents from that classroom. Neither one of you have a child in that class.
No, but my nephew is in there.
You do?
Not currently, but she's been a teacher of my child in the past.
She's been a teacher of your child in the past. So this is a K-1 combo. When I first heard it, I went, okay, you know, you got five classes. One of them becomes a combo. It's not the end of the world. What I was learning there was all these very big differences in how the teaching is going. I'm showing my generation when I'm a little bit horrified to know that the way the kids are being taught is very dominantly with a smart board, and I even got kindergartners and first graders on, a pad of sorts, an electronic learning pad. My kids were using the computer from diapers, but there are a lot more tactile ways of learning. But what I was understanding in there is that it's not particularly easy to teach these separate curriculums. You know, or do you choose one or the other? And the difference between kindergarten and first grade very often is profound, and it was only one teacher who was getting this disproportionate increase in the size of her classroom. So I don't know if she quit. The beginning of the meeting, she was quitting.
My understanding is she did resign.
She resigned.
Yeah.
So there's a whole classroom now with like 26 kids who came in, and it's an empty classroom. It's an empty room.
I don't know the exact number of the students, but I will tell you that today only one of them showed up. Because of the unstable environment, the parents were not aware of who their teacher was going to be and what they were going to be walking into. So they chose not to send their children to school today. And really, that's why I'm here, is to be a voice for these teachers and for these students, because this is really a problem when we're losing valuable teachers and students and families from this special community. This is a big issue, and it's very severe. Sarah Purcell is the teacher that is leaving, and I'm so sad to lose her. She has her master's degree. She is a phenomenal teacher. She cares so deeply for those kids. She's just excellent. So it's a huge loss to Hanalei, and she's you know, one of many at this point right now, and there's many more who want to leave. And I'm grateful to say that Hanalei School has amazing teachers, and they really make Hanalei School great. So when we're losing those teachers, this is a detriment to our children's education, and this is when we need to come forward, like we're doing right now, and to speak to this issue.
So, and I will say there were tears in the room from the parents that we're losing this teacher. And even, like, you guys have had kids in her class, and then, you know, looking backwards on that. If people want to call in, it's 826-7771, particularly Bill Arakaki or Maggie Cox. I would like to be bringing in, and Alan, do you have something to say?
I just wanted to pose two questions of these two folks. The first is, Hanalei is legendarily tight as a community. Everyone on the island knows that, I think. But for those of us who aren't in Hanalei, it would help me to understand this situation more if there was a little bit more specific information about what. Now, Felicia has provided some of that, but I'd like to get a more of a sense of the specific flavor of what parents are upset about. My other question is, the parents have met with Bill Arakaki, but have the parents tried to meet with the principal?
Yes, there have been many, many face-to-face, one-on-one meetings with the principal. Myself, as a parent, last year, my daughter was in a fourth grade class where a teacher left. She was unhappy with how the school is being run. New teacher was hired that did not have the skill set to manage the classroom. It was an emotionally unsafe classroom for my daughter to be in. And I met with the teacher and asked her, how are you going to resolve this issue? How is my daughter going to feel safe to go to school? And she had a lot of punitive ideas. I asked her a lot of pointed questions. Have you sat down with both the PTT that you met and the teacher together?
The part-time temporary teacher?
Mm-hmm. Yes, so that everyone would be on the same page. She said, no, I've met with one and I've met with the other.
This is the principal that you're having, that you had this conversation
yes.
with?
Yes. So I myself as a parent have had a face-to-face meeting with the principal. Many, many parents have.
And we have another parent on the phone, and then Alan's bringing up a really good point. So after we listen to the other parent, I'm going to try and zoom the camera out a little bit, or this conversation out, to where I think it is relevant to all of Hawaii. Aloha. Thank you for holding. You're on the air.
Aloha. I'm one of the parents of the fourth grader. My daughter was in the fourth grade class last year where the teacher left.
Uh-huh.
And my son is actually in the first grade class that's in the dilemma right now, and the teacher left the school today.
Yes.
So we have totally been affected by this.
I'm sorry.
And I went to the meetings, and it seems like we've done all the paperwork and filed the grievances and the complaints, and nothing is being heard about this situation. So us as parents and community members of Hanalei School and the North Shore, we are going to go into further action on this so our voices are heard.
What is further action?
We are planning on doing a protest sign holding in front of the school.
Okay.
On Thursday at 7 a.m. And we would love anybody to come support our local teachers and our school and the decisions that need to be done in this matter. Because it seems like the principal is not taking into consideration about what the teachers think, what the parents think, and not doing her job as a principal. And we've all seen it, and now the teachers are fed up, and we're losing teachers over this. And great teachers that have been there since I was a kid and graduated from Hanalei School I went there from kindergarten to sixth grade. And yeah, we need to do something. So instead of all this paperwork that hasn't been addressed, I think we need to take further action than we are.
Okay. Thank you.
Yes.
All right. Thank you so much for calling.
Thank you.
Aloha. Thank you. You're on the air.
Hi, this is Bill Arakaki, Kauai DOE.
Hey, Bill. Thank you so much for calling in. Have you been listening?
Yeah, yes, I have.
It, okay.
You know, I want parents there and all the others that are listening that, you know, I'm continuing to listen to the concerns that are being brought forth. And there's many things that, you know, I look into as far as, you know, statements from everyone that met with me, also with the school, with the principal, and so on. So, you know, any decision that made, I consider all these information that comes to me. And, you know, I can't, you know, disclose a lot of things. And I'm not here to, you know, say this and that and argue with anyone. I just want everyone to know that I'm listening to the concerns, and I will, you know, contact the principal, and we continue to, and I'm concerned about the families and the children and everything. So please know that, you know, I am here for the families and the school and everyone there, and even principal at the school. So, we need to move forward and see what we can do. And I mean, I'm just listening, and I can't give you any answers, you know, right now, but I am very interested in what's going on, and I know a lot of things that are going on, and we'll resolve this as soon as we can.
Bill, can I ask you, why haven't you responded to anybody's letters and to or to the school community council or to the PTSA at the end of last school year when we presented you with all of this information? Why did you not respond or give us any reason to why you were allowing Lisa McDonald to stay or not?
We're still in the process, you know, as far as how we do things, as far as principal evaluation and things, and I cannot disclose those kind of information. We're not completed yet. So, again, you know, when the time is I'm able to do so, I will respond.
But you did say that you would respond by June 30, the end of June,
again,
and you did not.
We're not completed, so I can't give you a full response or the community council or and the PTSA a final answer yet.
Mr. Arakaki, can you tell us when or an estimate of when you can respond? These issues were brought to you last April. Is it going to be another 30 days? Is it going to be another year? Do you have a timeline?
I do. Once we get results of as far as the testing and things, we're able to complete this whole process.
Could you clarify what you mean by testing, because my understanding is that you've received the teacher surveys last year, you received the student community council principal report last year, in addition to the grievances that have been filed through the teacher union representative, and you've received copies of all the letters from the concerned parents and community members.
And again, part of this whole process is to get the school results, which has not come out yet, which should be coming out shortly as far as data.
Results of what?
Student testing, because basically student learning is a big factor in how schools are doing, so it's going to come out.
All the testing is brand new as of last year, so I don't see how that could possibly be reflective of a principal that's having a really difficult time with her teachers and parents. And how would that have any weight?
Again, student learning is very much part of the leadership, so once that's done, then I'm able to complete the whole thing.
So I understand what you're saying, Mr. Arakaki, is that if our student test scores, which could be dependent on multiple variables, is high, then you are not concerned with losing teachers, with losing students at our beloved Hanalei School.
And again, I take all factors. You know, I am concerned about, you know, a lot of topics that are being brought forth. And once we get things done, then we'll get, you know, a response from me.
I think that the community at Hanalei is very disappointed in the leadership that you've shown. We're just very sad. I wish that you had come to the meeting yesterday and seen the tears.
And we invite you to come tomorrow night to our community meeting.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, we see that your indifference is definitely, you know, a concern.
Again, I'm here to listen and support the families, and, you know, that's why I called in. And
Well, I appreciate your calling in. I think there's value of people knowing that you're listening. And myself being in this position of just facilitating the story, what I heard yesterday, last night, is many people are going to leave the school. And that there isn't a sense of patience, and that I'm not sure at all that what would be the indicator for the people who would be leaving would be what the test performance was. I don't think that would be...
Yeah, again, there's many factors, and I need to kind of make sure I go through the whole process before, you know, a response or anything is made. So,
you know, I do feel like the testing, how well our children test, is a result of how well they're taught by our teachers. And when our teachers are under distress with their administrator, I think that's not a positive on our how well our kids test.
Well, I think you guys have been able to both make your points well, and so there's no real value in going back and forth. Mr. Arakaki has a procedure that he is observing, and you have an imminent concern, and that procedure isn't something that is calming.
Yes. So, you know, again, I'm here to support all of you. I'm continuing to listen to the concerns, and I'll get back to you as soon as I can regarding the whole matter.
Okay.
No urgency is very important. I totally understand that. That is why, you know, I wanted to call in, and, you know, with this, you know, new situation with the meeting the other night, and, you know, what the plans are, I'm well aware of it, and I want to make sure that I do the right thing.
Well, I do invite you to our community meeting that we're having again tomorrow night at 5:30 at the Honolulu Community Center for the parents that were not able to attend last night.
Yeah, and I don't want to be rude or anything or disrespectful. I do have another 5 o'clock meeting.
Okay.
But I'll continue to listen, and, you know, thank you so much for being, you know, allowing me to at least, you know, call in and let you folks know that I'm here.
Okay, thank you so much. Do we have another caller? Looks like. Okay. Aloha. Thank you for holding. You're on the air.
Aloha. I think this is me.
It is.
Hi there. This is so good for my heart to hear, only because, and I feel a little bit emotional, so just forgive me if I get a little bit teary, because I took my kid out of school. He hated school every day. Every day I'd say, hey, how was school? And he'd say, I hate school. And I didn't understand, you know, I know a lot about the system. I know a lot about, I just know a lot about where this country is going as far as the corporatocracy is concerned and who's in charge. And I know that there's this last year, another clamp went down in this core curriculum, and it's this whole new way. And of course they want to see the results. This is their little experiment that they're doing with our children. And unfortunately, our leadership is under the thumb of the big money. And the only way that my little brain could figure it out, as I was trying to say, like, I want to try to fix the system at the same time. I want to protect my son from losing his innocence, from being ramrodded into some box with some numbers and do-do-do. I mean, I've been in companies where everyone loved their job, and all of a sudden some, you know, guy came in to make things more profitable. And it turned into a nightmare working at that beautiful place. And so I see that happening with Honolulu School. And so in my little, you know, brain, I was thinking, well, I know my child, there's a number on his head. And every day he's there, they get a certain amount of money for him to be there. And whether I like it or not, that's the situation. So I really would love someone who's good at numbers, which I am not. But if someone out there feels compelled to do this, to get a number of how much it would cost to put a child through a really good system of schooling in Honolulu with all of the parents, you know, involved and, you know, people with gardens and people who teach music and people who teach art and dance. And we could make the most richest, I know that's not proper English, but the most amazing curriculum throughout our community with all of us adding to it. And I think what these guys are afraid of is their corporate money, their government money is going to be snatched away if they do anything out of the box. They are so under the thumb, and that's why this rhetoric is like, wah, wah, wah.
Caller. Yeah,
that's what I hear.
But
thank you, Catherine, for calling our leadership on this, like, hopelessness. It's not possibility talk I'm hearing. I'm hearing hopeless blah, blah, blah rhetoric that means nothing, and we're sick of it because it's our kids. And I just, like, I really thank you guys for taking this up, because I was too overwhelmed with the system, and I just said, I'm pulling my kid out. I want him to love learning, and he hates learning right now, and that's not right. So I know in my heart, I know what I have to do. But he's lost friends, you know, they're all doing things, and it's so, like, thank God for the beach.
Caller, thank you so much for what you're sharing, and I will say many people, myself included, and different people in this room have done, you know, group homeschool programs, and there are other alternatives, and it can be done, you know, without too much investment. So there are ways to be approaching this, and I'm hearing your larger message, and there is a strong corporate energy that comes and puts the pressure on entire departments of education. I'm not sure that I'm on the same page. It doesn't matter really what my opinion is, but that the individuals that are in the administration going up the chain are necessarily trying to get money. They are working with the procedure, and we're hearing that, well, the procedure take goes very, very slow, and it's not reflexive enough to be helping the kids or even helping the principal. But thank you for calling. I have another parent holding.
Thank you. Aloha.
Aloha. Aloha, you're on the air.
Yes, I just wanted to say I'm one of the parents that used to have a child at Honolulu School. We pulled her mid-year last year because her IEP was not being followed.
Individual education plan?
Yep. And there were many things. I mean, I could go on and on, but I won't do it because it'll go on too long. But the bottom line, I just, you know, to Mr. Arakaki, if he's still listening, I wrote you a letter. I would have appreciated just an acknowledgement of the fact you got my letter. That's all that would have been nice. I understand that there's many procedures he needs to go through, steps he needs to take before he can just go in and remove a principal or anybody for that matter. But the fact is that at least he could have acknowledged he got my letter and that he was looking into it. I've gotten nothing whatsoever. And I could have taken the school due process. I would have won because what they were doing was highly illegal. And I still get nothing, but I'm listening to you, and I am glad you're listening to me, Mr. Arakaki, but are you hearing what we're saying? When you came to Kauai, one of our biggest concerns was the educational system, because we heard it wasn't too good. We were so impressed when we came to Honolulu School under the leadership of Corey Nakamura and those wonderful, wonderful teachers, every one of them should be commended for the job they do. They are awesome. We were very happy until last year when we started having issues. And I went to Ms. McDonald. I had some trouble getting a hold of her because of what was going on in her personal life. And I empathize with her. I do. But she's a principal. She needed to take control and do her job. And when you sit in an IEP meeting and you have a principal leading that IEP meeting, jab so hard in the side, a staff member who is simply trying to explain the process to the parents so the parents clearly understand it, that the staff member jumps up and is screaming, "Ow!" and then proceeds to give that same staff member a dirty look, which is what happened in an IEP meeting, our last IEP meeting at Honolulu School. It just is wrong. Wrong, wrong, wrong. That never should have happened. My granddaughter was not getting services. I was told I needed to wait until after the beginning of the year to maybe get proper services. She hadn't really received proper services since the beginning of the year. Now I needed to another 2, 3, 4 months. My understanding is that with what happened with the special ed department, she would have never received services last year. And that's not acceptable. That shouldn't be, and no parent should accept that. And I just wonder, like, I knew what was going on. I know because I am a staff member. I work for the DOE at a different school. So I pulled my granddaughter, put her in this other school.
And how is it there?
I feel sorry for the parents that are still there, for their kids. And I feel sorry for the staff members. I don't know what the issue is. Maybe Ms. McDonald needed more training. I would think that if Mr. Arakaki is truly listening to the parents and the staff, that he would be down at Hanalei School every day helping Ms. McDonald be the type of principal that she should be. And if he can't do that, he should have sent a representative.
Thank you.
Yeah.
But thank you for listening, and thank you for putting it on the air. And I hope that this year something is done, because Hanalei deserves a good school. They had a good school. They deserve to have that school back.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Ashley has something you
want
to say?
Yeah, I would love to add to that. So last year, the special ed department was really mismanaged, and we lost all of those people. They had no qualified special ed teachers last
right.
year, and the SPED children, they did not receive any instruction, which is just sad. Also, we have been told that this year, the current 504 plans, which are the Civil Rights Disability Act, have not been implemented this year. So we are 6 weeks into school, or seven now, and those children needing those services have yet to receive their services due to a lack of the principal's approval of scheduling them.
Right. And that's, yeah, and I mean, these are legal issues. If for no other reason, you need to address the legal issues.
So,
you know, I can't believe that Mr. Arakaki is not listening to at least that.
Well, and I want the listeners to understand that this is the response that we've gotten from Bill Arakaki, and we've gone above him. We have sent all of this information to the state superintendent.
And does she respond?
No response.
No response.
Right, right. Because I sent a letter to both of them, and I received nothing.
And I believe that no parent has. Nobody has who sent anybody.
And I want to say that, like, when I look at this, and as Alan pointed out, this is a very local issue that we're talking about right now, and I see, though, that I have a lot of online listeners from around the state, actually. Kind of surprising how many people are listening from other islands, and they've just gone on in this window of time. So people are caring in other places. And,
well, they should, because you know what? This is not just, I mean, if you want to take the camera back and look at the wide picture, granted, this is about Hanalei, but it more importantly speaks to the whole quality of education that is being given on Kauai and just in the state as well. I mean, if you go up the chain of command and they don't respond.
And I can tell who's listening. I'm looking, I have 87 listeners right now that have been listening for this show around the islands. And I think that this is a larger issue. It's a larger issue of, like, how our chain of command goes, not just in the Department of Education, but in all these different departments. We have an incredibly powerful governor in this state. We are fourth on the list for power given to the governor, and so much goes to appointed superintendents and then appointments below, both in the commissions and the boards and everything below. So if people don't walk lockstep in the larger vision of a leader, then they lose their jobs. And like here, I thank you two women for coming, but there was I was expecting a crowd in here, and people for the amount of passion, people are afraid. And you know, I told one of the girls to man up and come in, you know, because if they're going to be calling it out, they need to be actually coming and saying what they know to be true. And for that person, I'm sure you're listening, love to you. People are afraid of losing their jobs. People are afraid of retaliation even if they don't have a job. So we have a whole culture in Hawaii of that fear towards compliance. And I think that that is really the larger argument that happens here. And it is so guttural because when you have a 5 or 6-year-old that's just like somebody's holding your heart in their hand, and you can shut a child down if they come in to a completely empty classroom, like what did happen. Well, you said only one kid came to school today. Mm-hmm. But these children stayed out of the classroom. So thank you, caller, for calling in.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thank you.
I wish them a lot of luck. I hope Mr. Arakaki is listening. And if he's not listening, I hope somebody above him listens.
And I hope all the voters in the state are listening, because we need to think about what positions we even put our administrators in and our employees in, and even at some level our elected officials, because they get elected into a position that's already got their hands tied. So
yeah,
we have a concentration of power that isn't particularly healthy, in my opinion, but that's my observation. So thank you for calling.
Thank you. Have a good day.
You too. And you are listening to KKCR Hanalei, KAQA Kilauea, the station that loves you. This is Felicia with Kauai Soapbox. In the studio with me is Eric Allen, Catherine, and Ashley. We're talking about Hanalei School and the challenges that are there as it reflects on, the way our state runs. And Kauai Soapbox is made possible by listeners like you in partnership with the Copper Man.
KKCR Hanalei, KAQA Kilauea, K224CQ Anahola, K284AL Haleiwa.
The views and opinions expressed during this program are those of the speaker and do not necessarily represent those of KKCR, its board of directors, staff, volunteers, or underwriters.
The Copper Man. Copper, stainless steel, and galvanized aluminum. We specialize in ornamental and custom work and fabricate and install any kind sheet metal work, residential and commercial. Serving Kauai for over 30 years. We're still talking. HarryConti.com. That's HarryConti.com. Or 639-3456.
Aloha, members of the Kekahu Foundation and KKCR. This October, the Kekahu Foundation Board of Directors, which oversees the management and operation of KKCR, will consider revisions to the Foundation's bylaws, which have not been updated since 2001. The proposed revisions would give more power to the Kekahu Foundation members to participate in meetings, elect and remove directors, and make or reject future changes to the bylaws. The board welcomes your input. You can review and comment on the proposed revisions by going to the kkcr.org homepage, where you will find a link to the proposed changes and instructions on how to provide input, which is due by October 15th. Mahalo.
And mahalo for supporting Kauai Community Radio, and especially to all those donors out there who do allow conversations like this to come on the air. I don't know that there's another station that allows this kind of dialogue to happen. I do want to acknowledge Hawike Television. They do quite a bit of good work. We have a lineup of callers, so I want to hear from you all, and I want to urge you to be succinct. Aloha, you're on the air. Thank you for holding.
Aloha, everybody.
Hi.
My name is Taliakala Anakalea. I'm just calling to kind of just give my background information on what's going on at Hanalei. I'm born and raised in Hanalei. I have three children that have attended Hanalei School, of which two are still there. One is in first grade and one is in sixth grade. I grew up going to Hanalei School with a dream to become a teacher there, which I did. I taught a second, third grade combo as well as third grade for 8 years there. I took a leave of absence to help out my parents with their business. And this is my second year off with the option to come back next year. With the way things are going, I have no want to go back to Hanalei School, which is so sad, especially being as I always wanted to attend that school, and that was my dream.
To teach there, you mean? Because I do remember when you attended as a child.
Yes. My maiden name, Haleakala Stewart. But it's just so sad what's happening. Hanalei School has always been a school where teachers wanted to go there. No teacher ever left unless they retired. Kids loved the school. My kids loved going to school. This is the first time in my whole life any of my kids have come home and said, Mom, the school is just not the same anymore. And I'm like, what do you mean? They're all, it's just different, Mom. And it's like, it hurts my heart. And I just get very emotional about it because I've grown up in this community. I've worked at this school. I know what the teachers are going through. And I hate it to know that I feel like they're not being backed. And at Hanalei School, the teachers, they don't speak up too often because we do whatever we have to do to help the kids. If you need something done, we're going to spend our weekend at school doing it. We're going to plan it. It's going to be done, even if we don't have help. That's just the way it is. But there comes a point where we can't keep bending over backwards and make things happen just because of sheer force and heart. There comes a point where we can't just keep doing it because in the long run, it's not fair to our kids. what's happening with this K-1 combo is just the tip of the iceberg. That's what everyone's going to hear about because that's immediate. It's happening right now. But there are a million different things that have been happening over the last 2 years, lots of things that people won't even know about because it's confidential, things like the principal going into the classroom looking through the teacher's things, things like the principal being super unprofessional, yelling at staff members in a meeting with parents. You just do not do that. I came from that school feeling like it's a family. Kids would play in the morning, and I understand Lee Bento, who was a teacher there forever. He retired and used to be there every morning to watch the kids. So now the kids sit in the cafeteria, and that's for safety purposes, and I understand that. But when I bring my child to the cafeteria at 7:20, because I do want her to be early, or 7:30, and she has to sit in the cafeteria by herself for 15 minutes, instead of being able to sit in front of her kindergarten class where she feels safe, because the principal now wants to make the school regimented and have everybody just sit and go all at the same time to their same class. I had a class of 30 kids my last year that I was there. I had kids, at least 5 to 6, that were there at 7:30. And they just felt more comfortable going into the classroom, sitting down, being able to settle themselves down before the other 20 would come to class all in the, at the same time, unpacking everything at the same time. Okay, so that's one little thing. But to me, having staff meetings where a principal yells at the teachers, walks out on the teachers, does not want to hear anything they have to say, gives them a paper that already went home to the parents before even getting feedback, that to me is unacceptable. Telling the teachers, I want you to reassess your kindergartners to see if they can go to first grade, because now all of a sudden, after 2 months of being out of school, maybe they're ready for first grade. Why did she want to do that? She wanted to do that so that it wouldn't have this problem. She could just send a whole bunch of kindergartners up to first grade so that we wouldn't have to make an extra classroom or have a combo. How unethical is that? You're going to go test kids that you knew 2 months ago were not ready for first grade, but now you're going to test them and say, oh, actually, they are ready. There's just so many things. I go to the school, I feel uncomfortable in the morning. I feel like I can't even walk up to the classrooms. Why? Because of her. I walk around and she's there, but she's only there to show face. She's there because we made a complaint last year that she was never around. The kids don't know her. So now she's there, but it's not because she wants to be. And I'm sorry, I don't even want to point fingers at her. I just feel that she was given a position that she is incapable of handling. Should be someone that can handle it, because in the long run, the kids are the ones that suffer for someone's ineptitude.
Well said, Miss Ana Clea. I had the privilege of having you as one of my daughter's teachers. You are amazing. If the situation continues, if Miss McDonald is still the principal, do you plan on coming back to the school as a teacher?
No, and actually I wanted to substitute just to still be there because I love the kids. I still want to be a part of the school, but I just can't see being there and working under someone that I feel their heart is not in it. And someone said it nicely last night at the meeting. It was very unselfish to take on a job that you know you probably would not be able to fulfill due to other obligations at home.
You mean the ill parent?
Yes. And I feel like there's only so much where you can give people a chance so much, but then when it's affecting our kids, and they're, like for my child again to come home and say she doesn't like school, and she's never said that once in all her years of being there. It's just very, very, it's just a sad situation, and I just want us to come up with a solution to fix this. And it really should not have come to this point. This should have been fixed before the parents had to get so upset, before everybody got upset about this. And now nobody wants to shine a bad light on Honolulu School. We love Honolulu School, still do. We have awesome teachers there. But like Bill Arakaki said when he called in, leadership does play a role. And if those kids score their tests are scored high, it's because of the teachers. It is not because of the leadership there, which is the principal, who sometimes is not even there, doesn't even show up. And then who has to be in charge? Betty Steed, who's in the office. The office personnel has to handle everything, and then they fall back on their job because they're handling the person's job that's not there.
And as far as we know, she was not even present at the trainings for the testing. So she was not a part of that process at all last year.
That did come up. Somebody was speaking about that. I guess only two people from Hanalei School went to the training for the testing. And
neither of them were administrators.
Mm-hmm.
And I want everybody to know there's a lot of other things, like wide open problems that you could get into, with from Common Core to just testing of students to everything. And that is on a wide spectrum. That's something that would take a very long time to fix. It's just the whole DOE system.
Well,
what we're trying to fix is an immediate problem, which is in Hanalei, which is something that definitely can be fixed.
Yes. Agreed.
And can be fixed soon if the right decisions are made.
Yeah.
So thank you.
Thank you, guys. Have a good evening.
And I'd like to mention that at the end of the school year last year, when this was brought forth and all of these surveys were turned in to Bill Arakaki, Todd Harrison called Bill and told him that he would love to take the position at Hanalei School.
And were he worked for like 3 weeks in
mm-hmm.
there, as
yes.
a sudden, and how did it go then?
People described it like a cloud had been lifted off of Hanalei School. There was just so much light. He has so much interaction with the kids. The teachers felt supported and loved, and you know, inspired by his presence there. It was a great fit, a perfect fit for Hanalei School. It's so sad that opportunity went missed, not once but twice.
Well, thank you, Haleakala. I have a couple other calls holding. I really appreciate your mana'o.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Aloha. Aloha. You're on the air. Thank you so much for holding.
Aloha.
Hi.
Hi. I am a parent and have had a son graduate and go through all of elementary at Hanalei, and actually Hale was one of his teachers, and she's a great teacher. So thank you so much, Hale, for calling in. That was amazing. And right now, a total of 4 children. I have another one that is in 6th grade, I believe also with Hale's daughter. And then I have a 1st grader that is going to be affected by this, and a kindergarten daughter that is affected by the K-1 combo. My first grader, the reason why I want to speak out to this is a lot of the way that the education has been going for our children. We used to have a pre-K and then a regular kindergarten, and then they would move to first grade. When they got rid of pre-K, then it became kindergarten, and then before, you know, losing them, they would now do what we were told, senior kindergarten. With my children being so close together, and my older daughter having a little bit more, needing a little bit more time as a kindergartner, at one point last year, they were both kindergartens together. One was considered senior kindergarten, and one was considered in regular kindergarten. And so it was very well needed for my older daughter, and I was very thankful for that extra year with her. We did have what was considered senior kindergarten, where all the children that were in this particular class, which was Ms. Clark last year, who has left the school as of now, but when she was there, she actually was able to leave off of kindergarten where they left off and go towards that first grade curriculum, giving her the opportunity to shine, become more confident, in which that was mainly what was needed for her to grow. And a lot of kindergartners, and I think that that's why a K-1 combo is so difficult with Common Core, with the new way of teaching, is kindergartners and the way that kids learn in those first, they could be either detrimental or extremely giving them the opportunity to move forward. And with my daughter doing 2 years of kindergarten, now she's in first grade, she's in Mary Lee's class, just loving her, which is, Ms. Fredrickson is an amazing, amazing teacher. So she's in there and her confidence is rising.
Wonderful.
Now I have my other daughter who is coming in, and she was in the large kindergarten class that is now going to be shuffled
so
to the combo.
I'm trying to understand, like, these are really great stories, and then, like, bringing it to the, like, I see I
yes.
have a whole crowd of people in Wailuku listening. So hello,
yes.
Wailuku. Maybe they're having a challenge over there. Aloha. 22 places in Wailuku listening right now. Maui.
Awesome.
What would you say to them? Because they might not want the specifics of each
no
child
problem.
In each
Sorry,
class.
I could go on. It's so hard. But what it is that teachers came on 3 different meetings, and 3 different meetings they said for sure they should
have a third kindergarten class, a senior kindergarten. I was
okay.
I felt myself, and they did not listen. That she came in, and the principal said, basically, here, I sent the letter home. We're doing a K-1 convo. It doesn't matter what has said in the past. I have made my decision. This is the best for the school, and walked out on them and slammed the door with a very mean demeanor. And our teachers have asked for our help, and I just want to support them because I do not want to lose Ms. Fredrickson. I do not want to lose her like we lost Ms. Purcell. My son, who is in sixth grade, told me today, he said, Mom, he goes, Ms. Purcell is super awesome. She was such a great teacher. She was part of a PTT teacher for me in third grade, and she's so neat. I'm sad that she left. He's in sixth grade. Why should he have to even be talking about that? My son had said that the principal, everybody has a rumor that they're not going to be able to do May Day, a tradition that has been, islands-wide, because the Kumus didn't want to work with our principal. There's so much, and why is it like that? It shouldn't be like that. My daughter shouldn't suffer. I've had such a great time at Hanalei School, and my son, who is now 18 years old, graduated from all the way from Kapaa. Now, here at Hanalei School, we're dealing with this. This is something needs to happen now, not a week from now, like by tomorrow when my daughter goes to class, because into the empty classroom with a substitute that might be gone by 3 days from now.
Thank you for calling and sharing that. We're hearing the stress of a parent with a long history with the school, and I really, really appreciate what you have shared. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Aloha.
Aloha. Aloha. Thank you for holding. You're on the air. Hello?
Sorry. Yes, I'm here. I just need to take a deep breath.
Are you
okay? My name is Cindy Wells, and I'm a speech-language therapist. I'm a parent, and I'm very upset. I think we need to get back to the facts. And Arataki called in, and he said that he's waiting to get the test results to see if our principal has basically performed to his expectations. And I don't know if that's what you guys heard, but that's what I heard. And I,
Clarify that. And Catherine, you almost said something. I didn't quite get that. So Catherine?
Yeah, my understanding, Vendi, is that he has those test results.
That's my understanding as well. All the teachers got them last year. The staff, the service providers, we all got them, and we adjust our teaching to them, because that's what we're supposed to do. And to find the PUCAs, the strengths and weaknesses of where our kids need to learn. Previously, we've had a Hawaii State Assessment standardized test, and that's what our kids took for a number of years prior to last year. Last year was the first year that they implemented the SBAC. It's a different standardized test that is a different way of testing and assessing our children's strengths and weaknesses, and you cannot compare two different standardized tests of this manner. It's irresponsible, and I am blown away that I heard our chain of command, the head of our chain of command, use that as one of his rationale, because it's completely irresponsible.
Agreed.
To compare two standardized tests like that.
Alan has something to say.
I was listening to Mr. Arakaki, and I think we need to appreciate the position he's in. Even though the administration of the department is responsible for how well the school operates. If a change has to be made in the principal, then the hierarchy has to do that. Clearly, this many faculty members jumping ship is a very, very bad sign. And it's Arakaki's duty to find out what it's a bad sign of. But to be completely fair to Mr. Arakaki, I suspect that he's more concerned about his department's exposure to litigation and grievances, and he's in a tough position because he needs to avoid being taken to court?
He's getting taken to court. There's multiple. Okay. There's multiple grievances. At least that's what Tom. Is it only two? I felt like that's what we were hearing from. Go ahead.
You know, I'm not totally aware of exactly how many, but I believe that there have only been two, although there could be many, many filed.
And one is a class action grievance?
Not that I'm personally aware of.
How scary and how functional is the world that we're living in right now that our Department of Education only jumps when someone threatens lawsuits? I am in a position to sue, and I can win because my daughter is not receiving services. And it's an excuse. It's a pitiful excuse. And I work for the Department of Education. I was born and raised here. My mother was a deaf...
Was a what?
Was a decorated and honored teacher at Kalaheo Elementary School and Kapaa Elementary School for over 40 years. I had the pleasure of working under and being a student with Chris Town and a number of other principals. And I've never seen a principal talk one way out of her mouth, then turn and say something completely different to someone else. It's divide and conquer. You don't have the children's best interest at heart. And it's just jaw-dropping. The number of examples that we have shared and tried to follow correct protocol, and everyone that I know of from cafeteria staff to office staff to special ed to speech and language pathologists, to teachers going to unions, we've all gone up the chain of command and expressed concern, red flags, complaints, help, please, parents, and we get, I'm listening. I hear your concern.
I would have to say that that's very consistent with the whole tone of the meeting yesterday, as people were perplexed that there's not even a response.
Yeah.
That was very consistent.
And I would like to just share this. This was a letter that was written, and I'm not going to read the whole thing, but I am going to read the bullet points. This was an anonymous letter. It was written March 11, 2015, to Mr. Arakaki, the Honolulu school community is suffering from the lack of proper leadership by Principal Lisa McDonald. Not only are the teachers and staff experiencing frustration and low morale, but also the parents and the Honolulu community are disgruntled. The following is a list of complaints compiled by the teachers and parents of Honolulu school. 1. Erratic and unsupportive encounters between Mrs. McDonald and parents, teachers, and community. 2. Limited presence on campus. 3. Lack of professionalism in communication with teachers and staff. 4. Lack of timely communication to parents. 5. Inappropriate student interventions regarding behavior. 6. Misrepresentation of the importance of the SBAC test to the student body. 7. Lack of proper classroom cleaning. 8. Lack of leadership in the special education department. And I just want to share that this teacher survey was done and turned in on May 29th, 2015. Mr. Arakaki, this is their head letter. It's very short. We, the teachers of Honolulu School, participated in the enclosed survey on May 21st, 2015. We firmly stand by the results of the survey and wish for you to accept this as our data. We are deeply concerned by the results of the survey, and we ask that you take action to provide new leadership for our school. It is our understanding that Ms. McDonald is assigned on probationary status. As the school year is coming to a close, time is of the essence to address these alarming concerns and issues. We feel that it is important to address and remedy these issues as soon as possible, as it is clearly in the best interest of our school, students, and teachers, as well as our parents and community. Your timely attention to this matter is greatly appreciated, and it was written, signed sincerely, Teachers of Honolulu School. And I want you to know that in this, one of the most important questions asked is, would you like to see Ms. McDonald continue her role as principal at Honolulu School? 1 teacher said yes. 7 did not answer the question, probably out of fear, and 12 said no. And yet there was no response to this.
And that was tough when there was another principal that everybody dearly
yes.
wanted and wanted to come in. And I think that's the thing that is... really hard to get. Like if there wasn't somebody else, if there was no other option and this person was on probation and that other person had been in there for 3 weeks with, you know, a really good positive element, that, you know, that's pretty surprising for me. Caller, I have two more people waiting. Do you have any final thoughts?
I just wanted to apologize for my emotion, but I have three kids. I have one that graduated. I have two that are still there. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
I have to show up at work tomorrow and face all these people, and maybe from district I'm going to get phone calls and get scolded for talking negatively against it. But my phone is blowing up with other staff members texting me saying my heart is pounding. I can't follow through with the phone call. Please go on. And
thank you so much for speaking up. Your voice is powerful, and we so hear you. Thank you, Wendy.
And thank you. I mean, I think that you're speaking to this core point, is when there is such a profound emotion and there is no response from even the whole state superintendent of school, to at least say, you know, from Oahu, we hear you, we get it. I think this is an unusual level of strength of emotion for a school situation.
Well, what's very telling here is I can understand why Arakaki would not have wanted to respond in substance until he completes his investigation, but to not acknowledge hearing from the parents, that's a problem. And it's disappointing to hear that someone in his position is not responsive enough to even say in writing to parents who write to him, I hear you.
And I have to just say, I really like Mr. Arakaki a lot, and this is the first I've seen this. I haven't been on the opposite end of being in agreement with him, so I want to say it's not that easy for me to be exploring this, but it is what it is. Okay, thank you so much for holding. You're on the air. Hello, you're on the air. Turn your radio off and then pick up the phone. Aloha, I can hear me.
Hello.
Hi, turn your radio off, please.
I'm sorry, okay. I'm sorry. Oh, it is what it is. Turn it off. Hi.
And you're listening to KKCR, Hanalei, KAQA, Kilauea. This is Felicia with Kauai Soapbox. We're talking about challenges at Hanalei School and looking at what is the weak points relative to the line of authority in our education system. Please continue.
Hi. I'm a parent of Hanalei School as well. My son was in the trouble class last year, and I personally had a awful experience with Mrs. McDonald when I confront her about problems happening in the class. And she, I even got the police call. A bunch of stuff happened. I went to the superintendent. I wrote him letters. I had a meeting with him. I brought him a bunch of letters from parents and of support, and he told me that he was going to get back to me. He never got back to me. I got back to him again, and then he wrote me an email saying that all my concerns were sent back to Ms. McDonald, and I never heard from him again until I sent a letter, because I was banned from school. And
you were banned from the school?
Yes, I was banned from the school from her because she couldn't handle me, because I was pretty much cornering her, telling her, you're not doing your job. My son is on this class, and he has a teacher that she curses out classroom. She's awful. She doesn't like the kids. She called me to tell me that she living the west side and that she wake up at 4 a.m. Well, a long story. And Ms. McDonald ignored everything, so I went above her, and he ignored everything, too. He told me that he was going to get back. He never did. But anyways, they removed the ban. I'm not banned anymore. I wrote a letter to her and to him, same letter, and I dropped the letter at his office, and I sent the letter with my son to her. They answered me. They removed the ban. I can't come back to school, but I'm pretty much in the shadow, you know, because I'm afraid. I went to court I'm on probation for 6 months. I mean, I'm a very affected parent by this whole situation because she felt cornered by me and she called me the police. And the parents that are right there with you, they can confirm this.
She called the police on you when you were confronting with her with not liking how your child was?
Yes. She called the police on me. Police came. They gave me a ticket saying that I could go to jail because I was disturbing the peace and I was being disorderly conduct. And it's been 3 months. That was in May. Well, the issue with my son, it was there was a substitute. It was poking him, and it was making videos of them. And my son told me, I'm very uncomfortable. This teacher is poking me on my shoulder, and I don't like it. So I confront her, and she pretty much, didn't like it. She called the police on me, told me that I was being disorderly conduct, and they gave me a ticket. I went to court, and, well, I'm right now on a process. I have a lot of proof that this lady shouldn't be there. And we asked Mr. Arakaki to please remove her. And he said that he was going to give her a chance to improve. We told her she doesn't deserve a chance to improve. She already have a whole year to improve. And if you go to another job, you have 3 months or 6 months of probation to improve. And she had a whole year. And I think it was insane that they gave her another year to improve.
Okay, and my understanding is that this is the first time that a principal at Hanalei Elementary School has ever called the police on a parent, that in the past these principals have come with the skill set to be able to diffuse difficult situations and have proactive communication skills,
but she never did.
Right, which is very lacking.
And it sounds like
I can say that I was emotional, but I was a concerned parent, and I know that I was emotional, but she wasn't able to handle the situations. She lacked everything. You name it, she lacked of that.
So
either anything that you can name, she lacked of that.
So thank you for calling in. I want to note now that I've got a whole lot of people from Kailua Kona listening in. So this, even though I got like close to 20 people from Kailua, so even though this seems like a Hanalei issue, I wouldn't be holding these people across the islands if there wasn't something else going on. Thank you so much for calling, caller. I'm sorry for what you've gone through. I have a few more callers holding, and I want to put out there to anybody listening.
Well, I hope Mr. Arakaki do something. I really hope he do something, or whoever is above him, Matayoshi, I don't remember her name, do something, because it's time to do something, and the kids are the ones that are in danger. And she is not the perfect match for us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Aloha. And if anybody has a different viewpoint, please call in. And I will say I did not invite the principal herself because I felt like she would come in here for a roasting, and I don't really want to do that to somebody. But if she does want to call in, I imagine that she is listening. It's a little painful for me to know that somebody's having a show this harsh about them personally. That's why I don't bring up her name, me personally. It's a very difficult position for her to be in. If you would like to call in, Principal of Hanalei, you are welcome to do so. If there are colleagues of hers who want to support her, and you have a differing viewpoint, please call in. We are having pretty much a consistent statement of non-support. So we have another caller holding. Aloha, you're on the air. Hello?
I believe you're speaking to me.
Yes, I am.
Okay. I'm the grandmother of a first grader who was in Sarah Purcell's class, one of 18 or 17 children who did not come to school today because they would be walking into an empty classroom with someone they didn't know. Every child that I know in that class has an incredible connection with Ms. Purcell. Not only do they have an incredible connection with her, my grandson unfortunately did not have the best school year last year, and I've seen his pride, his work. He's on the upper spectrum, excel and just skyrocket. I wanted to also mention that when we look at the amount of people who left Hanalei School last year, if you look at the entire teaching staff, you're looking at 50% approximately of the teaching staff that left the school. I have personally had over 10 conversations since last year with Ms. McDonald. I have had one story told to be changed to another story, another story, another story. We were all told there was funding even available from the PTSA to fund this kindergarten teacher, and that was what was going to happen. My grandson, who I adopted because my daughter passed away,
has already had
enough happen in his life. I cannot believe, after writing letters to Mr. Arakaki, after attending many different meetings, after being at the meeting last night, that this is still an issue that is concerning us. Everybody says Honolulu is a tight community, but the primary reason why we were all so concerned about everything is the fact that our keiki, our future, our teachers, who we treasure so much and who make such a difference in our community and throughout the state, a state that has one of the lowest standards in their educational system in the country, and we wonder why we cannot increase our standing in the country. I have no question why we can't. The reason why we can't is because we have this kind of leadership, and I would take it all the way to the top of the chain of command within the DOE of the state of Hawaii. Thank you.
Thank you so much for calling in. I have another caller. Just so people know, we have 3 and 4 callers holding. This is a very hot issue. Aloha, you're on the air.
Aloha, is that me?
It is.
Okay. My name is Laura Burton. I'm a teacher at Hanalei School.
Mm-hmm.
I feel my heart goes out to all of the people that are being emotional. I totally understand. It's been a very difficult couple of years here. My concern right now is just with the keiki that are going to be coming to school the next few days. I agree to progress if they feel they need to. But if we can keep the children in consideration, the ones that are coming to mm-hmm. school, maybe keep it to the side, or maybe go to Bill Arakaki's office. I'm trying to convince my kindergarten students every day that it's fine and things are going okay. I don't think 5- and 6-year-olds need to worry about these situations, although, you know, we should speak with our children if that's the kind of family we have. But I want you to be assured that our teachers here at the school are still quality teachers, and no matter what's going on with the public and their feelings and Ms. McDonald's leadership, that our teachers are coming to school, and despite their stress, are still going to be quality teachers and taking care of the keiki.
Thank you. It's
I just
really
want to
important.
Reassure those parents that may not have heard or are not involved in the protest that, you know, the teachers are not trying to reflect this to the students.
And as we came up in this meeting, we don't want the kids to feel like the school's getting divorced, you know.
We don't
want emotional trauma, and it's a really a big challenge, and particularly K-1, 2, 3, they're very vulnerable. It's
yeah.
frightening, and it you know, so I'm appreciating your message.
And my heart goes out to Ms. Purcell. That was a very disappointing situation. I was the overloaded class. It was some of my students that were chosen to go to the K-1 combo, not randomly. They were students who were ready to be in a first grade type environment. But again, today, of course, they did have an empty classroom, and that was very difficult. But we made the best of it that we could for the kids. And so I'm just hoping as the adults around campus, you know, put your battles, write your letters, but please, if we can at least be kind to the keiki and just make them feel okay until the situation is resolved. I also wanted to share, as a representative, yes, we did lose a lot of teachers last year. Just to clarify, it was not all because of Principal McDonald. The teacher evaluation system that's been imposed on us the last 2 years was insanely work intensive and took us away from our students, not helped us be better teachers. A lot of them left for that reason, as they left the middle school and many of the other elementaries on the island because of the evaluation system. We have teachers who went on maternity leave. We have teachers that are traveling the world right now. And we have some teachers that may not return from leave because of the uncertainty of our campus. I do admit that. But a lot of the initial reason for leaving may not have been specifically the principal, more the evaluation system and other reasons.
Thank you for bringing in that perspective.
And I'm sorry, I'm just trying to share what I know mm-hmm. as a representative for the teachers, and I know people may not like it, but we did do a teacher survey last year. People did rate her poorly. She's a new teacher. There was a lot
new
of miscommunication.
Principal.
Yes. There was a lot of difficult situations.
However, I cannot say, as some people are saying publicly, that all the teachers hate the principal and want her out. There are three or four very dominant voices. There are a lot, as a representative, and I got the surveys directly from them and said, well, what is your feeling? A lot of them are neutral and, you know, maybe slightly concerned, but not to the point where they wanted her out. So, again, I'm not defending either position. I'm just saying that was what happened with the survey last year. It's not that they're afraid to speak up. They were neutral, but they were afraid to speak up against some of the voices.
Thank you for that perspective.
Yes, yes. But if we can, just the rest of the week, at least for the children that are coming to school, be positive and keep their learning going, because I know all of the teachers, no matter how upset they may be, are still coming in and doing their best in our classrooms.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you for listening.
Thank you. Aloha, you're on the air. And we're getting towards the end of the show, so we've got like three more people waiting. Looks like now four, so we got to go through you quickly. Thank you for calling in. What's on your mind? Hello? Aloha, you're on the air.
Aloha, is this me now?
It is you. Thank you for holding. I'm sure it's been difficult. Thank you for holding. Your turn.
Yes. Okay. Aloha. My name is Rebecca Hart. I have a daughter who's in second grade.
Okay.
At Honolulu School. She's attended there. This is her fourth year at the school. I currently hold the position of the PE teacher at the school.
Can you speak directly into your phone?
Absolutely. I currently hold the position of the PE, the physical education teacher at the school, and I'm also the former school counselor. So I just wanted to add in as much as I needed to from a community perspective as well as from a former professional perspective. As a parent in the school, I know that we are primary stakeholders as consumers of the product of our child's education, and I purposefully... I lived on the North Shore for 5 years, moved away for a couple years, and moved back purposefully to the North Shore to have my daughter be raised in that community. And I know from being amongst that community in the school that from when I was there with Mr. Corey Nakamura and to moving with Lisa McDonald, that the overall morale of the school has plummeted, where teachers are treated, and I've seen it point blank, treated with disrespect, dishonesty, deceit. There has been so many occasions of dishonesty that has led teachers to the point where they do not feel comfortable meeting with the principal by themselves. And, you know, I don't know how much more, I don't want to say too much because of my position. And, you know, I know that there's plenty other people out there that are feeling certain ways that anonymously have been sending me messages. But I also do want to make sure that my voice is heard as a parent and as a community member, that although I believe that Lisa McDonald, I'm sure, would excel in other ways in her life, and I was very optimistic last year and very hopeful, and I tried so hard to be supportive. Yet I know that my daughter is currently suffering. She said to me last year, I miss Mr. Nakamura. He was in the cafeteria with us. He knew my name. He was out at recess with us. He would play with us. He would talk with us. And on the other hand, it's just not the case what's going on the past year and a half, year and a couple months, I suppose, now.
Thank you so much. And I know that you had really a lot of quality information at the event last night. I believe I know who I'm speaking to. We have three other holders. Do you have people holding to call? We're almost at the end of the show. Jazz with John is coming up in 15 minutes at the top of the hour. Do you have any core final thoughts?
You know, building burned bridges back up again between a leader is very difficult to do. And I have heard countless occasions from teachers saying that they don't trust their administration. Working in the public school since 2001, I know how important it is for teachers to have the backing of their administrator.
And when you don't even feel comfortable talking to them without being lied to, then how are you supposed to feel comfortable when you are in an uncomfortable situation in school? You need to have the backing of your administrator. And I guess that's my most important thing is you need inspiration. You need someone that has your back, not someone that you're afraid to talk to because you don't trust.
Thank you so much. And again, as I'm able to see who's online here, I see a lot from Honolulu too. So if the Department of Education is listening, thank you very much. And it might be that the Department of Education in Wailuku and Kailua Kona are listening. I hope so. Thank you. Thank you for calling. Aloha, you're on the air. Thank you for holding.
Aloha, Felicia.
Aloha.
I'll remain anonymous. I just want to say they're probably all listening. I'm hoping that the Department of Education will call and give you guys some feedback. That's my hope. I think the reality is this is a problem that extends much further than Hanalei. I know it's happening at the middle school, and I've only taught since 1988 in the state on three different islands, and I can tell you it's a statewide problem. I know leadership's important, but everything's coming from the top, and it's probably why people aren't getting the responses that they deserve and need in a timely fashion. So hopefully the state will be calling you and give you some answers.
Thank you for making that point, and I believe I know who I'm talking to, and I know that you've got a lot of qualifications and have worked deeply, and you look up the chain a lot, and I feel like many people can be a victim in a system that isn't designed as well as it could be for success. And not that it's easy to correct, but we are seeing the outcome of a problem. So thank you for calling. Do you have any final thoughts?
No, I just commend everybody for calling in with their stories and sharing on behalf of the kids. Because you know what? It's all about the kids. And we do have to step up and fight for them.
Thank you so much.
Okay,
thank you
aloha.
For calling. Aloha. Aloha, you're on the air. But you need to turn your radio off.
Oh, okay.
You're
interesting on. Thought. I really feel strongly and passionate for the parents and the students that have to go through this experience. For the organizations with the parents that are really trying to work through this, I have been a teacher for 37 years and seen this several times, where you have an administrator who is weak, non-supportive, and generally really is just going through the motions and doesn't have their heart in it at all. They stay. They don't get fired. So here's the final question is, what are you going to do if Lisa McDonald stays? Thank you.
Thank you. Do you want to respond real quick before we take the next caller?
I would imagine that most people would withdraw their kids from the school, or a lot of people would, and a lot of parents would leave, or teachers would probably continue to leave as well.
There's 300 kids at that school. It's really, at one point it had contracted a lot. They were thinking they were going to have to close it, and it's really expanded. But yeah,
and part of the expansion, I believe, is that because Hanalei has always been an outstanding school, and because of the community. But, you know, you have a principal who is, I don't really have a good word for her, but I do know her personally.
And let's keep it nice, uh-huh.
Yes, but she really, as the other person said, would be very highly successful in some other vocation, but probably not very successful working with people in a collaborative manner with the community and with the school. But that said, I feel passion for the community because in my experience over the last 37 years, this kind of leadership does not leave. And the DOE doesn't fire or release this type of leader for some reason. They just don't get rid of them. They stay.
Our hopes is that
they will put the K-key first. As a community, we have been at this since March of last year, and we don't have any intentions of stopping. We can't. It's our kids.
I absolutely support you, and I understand. But, yeah, so maybe Plan B is something that might be discussed. But good luck to you guys, and I'll be watching you and listening for future programs, reading in the paper what's going on, of course, and I will come out and support you as much as I can. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. I did see in Honoka'a, I posted an article that went up. There was a similar situation over there at Honoka'a, and that principal, based on parent reaction, I think was put on administrative leave, or maybe has been placed in another job. That was last spring. Have you followed that at all?
Yes, we have. Yeah.
So there has been that solution. We are almost at the end of the show. Jazz with John is coming up. We'll hear the county council report pretty soon. Alan, do you have any thoughts as like a third-party bystander to this topic? And thank you for coming in. And we didn't get around to the weather, which is what I had invited Alan in to talk about.
Well, there will always be weather. I think that what I hear is the phys ed teacher and the caller before her, I applaud them for having the courage to speak up and express their perspectives. I think it makes for a healthy dialogue to have this kind of diversity.
And I would just like to add that I feel at this time at Honnelly School that the break in trust between the principal and the teachers is at such a place where the cohesiveness that it takes to actually lead a team and to have a strong school has been lost. It's broken right now. So I don't know how the school can continue to function with this, and I don't know how it can be repaired. And so I think that's why we are all here. We've all taken the actions that we have to try to address this in the proper channels, and that hasn't been received, and we haven't gotten response from it. So this is why we are here taking these next steps to really get our voices heard, and so that the community can be informed and aware of what's happening, and hopefully that we can create some change.
Free independent press is meant to be the guard dog and the watchdog of the system, and sometimes that's more difficult in the standard commercial press because of the line of ownership. I do believe, though, that my understanding is that the networks have started to look at this issue. Is that correct?
Yes, they have.
And so it might end up getting bigger.
It might, yes, it might. And, you know, we are grateful for that, and I do know that there's sensitivity with our children, and so I think it's a great opportunity for us to discuss this with our children about, you know, when is it right to kind of stand up and have a voice and to have a healthy conversation around them with us. You know, we are planning a protest for Thursday morning at 7 a.m. in front of the school. And, you know, I think every parent needs to just know their children enough to know whether that might be something that would upset them. And if that's the case, then keep them home with you, you know, and if it's something that their children are ready to participate in or would be okay with, then let them participate.
When you say participate, to stand out on the street?
If they would like to. It's before school. It's 7 a.m.
Oh, I see.
And I think that, you know, every parent just has to kind of engage their children in what's right and to have the conversation with them about these issues.
We had the other teacher who did call in, and I felt was raising a really important point, is like, hey, you know, some of us are still here, and we're still keeping a smile on our face every day. It's like walking through a difficult circumstances. Aren't we lucky that these are the problems that we're having, and we're not migrants from Syria, you know, or, you know, I mean, when we look at the scale of problems, we can have gratitude that our problem is that we're having trouble talking to our school administrator. I'm not putting that down, but I'm just saying,
absolutely.
There's some value in keeping it in perspective, too.
Yeah, absolutely. And I just want to share that we are having another public meeting, that it will be held tomorrow, Wednesday, at 5:30 p.m.
At the Hanalei Community Center. So you're welcome to join us on that. And
we've also established a Facebook page so people can log into their Facebook and get the most up-to-date information. That is at Save Hanalei School, I believe.
Okay, and I want to thank the 150 people that are listening to this dominantly from around the islands a little bit. We've got other countries and we've got some places. We have some regular listeners in other countries and on the continental United States. But this has been heavily listened to around the islands today. And that's real meaningful for me. I'm used to that when we're talking about sovereignty, when we're talking maybe about Alan and Maya's favorite thing to disagree on, pesticides and usage of that. But to have something that's localized to Hanalei, to one town, I'm glad to see that this is actually resonating where people are grasping that it isn't really about the dynamic in Ms. Purcell's classroom. It is really about parents' role in how they are able to affect their governance. It's something as important as working with the school. And, you know, it's a bigger issue than that.
That's the important thing here, that you've, all of you here today, have opened an issue that is the kind of issue that needs to be discussed. It is a, there are probably other schools in the state where similar situations are evolving right now. The fact that you can do this openly is a credit to the station, for one thing, but also it makes it clear that this is an education for parents and families is so incredibly passionate, and I think your passion has come across here very well today.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you both for having the courage to come in, and thank you, Alan and Eric, for coming in as the backup team. And I, you know, sometimes when issues are this hot and this big, my guests don't show because something frightens them in the end. So I applaud you for coming in. I applaud the callers. And I even want to give a shout out to Lisa McDonald, because this has got to be a very difficult day for her. I'm not going to be able to take another call. I see one coming. It can get answered, but we're going to have to say aloha. Eric, thank you, thank you, thank you. This has been Felicia with Kauai Soapbox. This will be on the archive soon, and I will send it to the people who maybe should have had it, or you guys can send it to the administrators that you might want to have. And we are signing off on KKCR Hanalei, KAQA Kilauea, Felicia with Kauai Soapbox, and here's the County Council report.
Aloha, I'm John Gordon for KKCR News. Here's a county council report for the week of September 7th. There will be a council committee meeting Wednesday at 8:30 a.m. in the council chambers in Lihue. Here's some highlights from the agenda. The Budget and Finance Committee has three bills on their agenda. They all involve the county's budget, and a public hearing was held on the bills on September 2nd. The first is Bill 2593, amending a county ordinance relating to the operating budget of the county for the fiscal year July 1, 2015 through June 30, 2016, by revising the amounts estimated in the General Fund, Highway Fund, Liquor Fund, Solid Waste Fund, Sewer Fund, and Golf Fund. This is the Units 2, 3, and 4 collective bargaining increases in the amount of $912,369. The second is Bill 2594, amending a county ordinance relating to the operating budget of the county for the fiscal year July 1, 2015 through June 30, 2016, revising Section 19 of the operating budget provisos. And the third is Bill 2595, amending a county ordinance relating to the operating budget of the county for the fiscal year July 1, 2015 through June 30, 2016, revising the amounts estimated in the general fund, and this is for the Kauai Police Department legal analyst, for the amount of $124,165. Also, Council Chair Kagawa requests the Director of Finance and the Housing Director discuss the county's long-term affordable rental tax limit, including but not limited to discussion of the following: an overview of the Department of Housing and Urban Development's median household income and affordable rental rates, how affordable rental rates and median household income are calculated, The potential impact to the county should the current tax limit be increased from 80% to 100%, and finally, all other related information to the long-term affordable rental tax limit. For more information, visit the county's website at www.kauai.gov. To view meetings or meeting archives, visit www.kauai.gov/webcast meetings. Till next week, I'm John Gordon for KKCR News. Aloha, and I hope the menace stays away.